Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Eldritch Hour. We are an actual play tabletop role-playing podcast focusing on Call of Cthulhu 7th Edition, published by Chaosium. But we do have plans to dabble into other systems in the future. The main theme of our show centers around mystery and horror, and my players are going to encounter all kinds of strange and terrible things as they try to uncover secrets and clues to the unexplainable. As a listener, you do not need to know the rules of the system we are playing to appreciate the show, so just sit back and enjoy. Our first major story arc is titled The Star on the Shore, and is a combination of my own story and of the story and setting of the same name, written by Ben Burns and published by New Comet Games. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on social media. Links are provided in the show notes. We absolutely want to hear from our listeners and get feedback. You can also consider supporting the show by visiting our Patreon page. With that, let's raise the curtain. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, dear listener, to the Eldritch Hour. We are a horror-themed tabletop roleplay podcast containing violent and mature themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of the Eldritch Hour. I'm Josh Richter, and I'm sitting here with my very good friend, Joey. Joey, Hello. You want to introduce yourself and introduce the character you're playing tonight?
Yeah, I'm called Joey, and in this story or campaign or what have you, I'll be playing Sterling Burnham. He's a British astronomy researcher, currently living in Cambridge, Massachusetts, born in London, England. And he's following some fun stars in the night sky.
Awesome. All right, well, let's roll forward. So it is evening time on August 7th, a Sunday. It is crystal clear night skies over nearby Boston and Cambridge. You are at your large home. Would you call it a mansion?
I mean, probably, yeah. It's okay. It's pretty unreasonably large.
Especially probably, for one person, I assume.
Definitely bigger than my real life house, that's for sure.
Yeah. You are at your mansion, and you've invited your good friend, a Mr. Warren Hollister, the owner and manager of the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, to your observatory. You invited him over for an evening of conversation and stargazing, as the two of you have kind of made this a regular, semi-regular occurrence over the past few months as you've gotten to know each other through researching circles and various academic meetups and things like that, and through your job, providing research for the university in the area, and have become somewhat friends. And he's just about due at the mansion. What are you currently doing?
Great. Yeah, I don't know. I'm alone in this big house, so I'm probably just, you know, maybe preparing a small amount of food, maybe some like little finger sandwiches, you know, the kind of nice. Not like full meal sort of stuff. How long would he be staying, do you think? Would this be like a prepare dinner kind of thing?
It's not necessarily, no, it would be past dinner time at this point. So this would be more like, yeah,
few hours.
Some evening finger foods, like you said. And
I'm going to put the tea on.
A spot of tea and just some warm conversation, some theory crafting and general hobby talk outside of the normal workplace. He's become a bit fascinated recently with your field of research, but he doesn't know quite a lot. So he's kind of latched onto you, I think, as some sort of guide in this respect. And he's taken it up certainly more out of just hobby interest rather than any sort of pursuit, as his station is obviously pretty well cemented as the owner of the museum. So,
man, I got friends in high places.
So yeah, some time goes by here as you're preparing, and you do hear a knock at the door.
I answer it.
Yeah, as you open, Mr. Hollister standing there in his overcoat, his just rosy cheeks beaming at you. He's a bit balding. The little gray hair that he does have kind of circles his head like laurels around his ears and the crest, and he extends a warm hand to greet you. Ah, Sterling, so good to see you.
Ah, yes, Warren, please do come in.
Ah, thank you, sir. I do look forward to these nights.
Yes, they are nice. I don't get many visitors.
I can't imagine why. Your home is beautiful. Certainly too large for just yourself. You really should get some help, at least, to keep the place up a bit. And he kind of like stares at a disheveled stack of books at the entryway nightstand there.
Do I notice him do that? As he's saying,
yeah, it? Yeah. He's not being very discreet about it.
Well, you know, Warren, I am still using those books.
I'm sure you are, my friend. I'm sure you are. Never one to slow up on the reading, eh?
Absolutely. And when you're not using it, you put it away. So that's kind of where it lives now.
He takes off his coat and kind of very casually just walks over to your sofa and just drapes it over the back. He's been here several times before now. Kind of feels very comfortable. So what is it then tonight? What are we looking at?
Well, I've been sort of staring at the same place in the sky for the last few months or so. So it's the same as our last visit, Warren. We're still taking a look at the Andromeda Galaxy. It's very fascinating. Lots of new sciences have come up in the last few years, and I am just obsessed with it. Would you like a spot of tea?
Excellent. I would love some. Yes, please.
Pour us up a cup with the fine set that I have. And I guess we'll just start out in the living room as opposed to going straight to the telescope.
Sure, yeah. He eagerly takes a sip once you've prepared and brought it over to him. It's a long, you know, very indulgent sip, and he just lets out a, you really do make the best tea. You English folk really know what you're doing.
Well, you see, that's because I import it, you see. You know, none of this local crap that you guys put down your throat. So you've got to get the English black tea. It's really, really life-changing.
Well, I suppose my ancestors knew what they were doing when they threw it in the harbor, eh?
All right, enough of that, Warren, all right? You know, come here to stargaze.
Yes, of course. Betelgeuse and Rigel and all that, right? He mocks you a little bit jokingly with the accent. You have the idea that he's kind of very fond of the British.
Like he's trying his best to mimic mm-hmm. it out of appreciation instead of mockery.
Yes, yeah. Doesn't really understand that it's probably coming off the wrong way.
How long have we been friends?
I would say you've really started to like connect more and kind of started up these sessions only in the last few months, say six or less. You knew him a little bit before that more as almost strictly a professional contact. Right. As you've like handed in research documentation or theories or things like that amongst the academics in the area, but yeah, you've really only started to develop any sort of friendship over the last few months.
Okay. So, Warren, You know, I haven't really asked it, but, you know, we've been growing a lot closer lately, and you've been staying over, and we've been stargazing quite a lot. What sort of brought up your increased interest in the stars, if anything? I mean, I know that they're beautiful, and I love to look at them, and they spark wonder in the mind, but, you know, that's not always everyone's reason.
Oh, but it is. It's almost exactly the same. I just... You know, I can't help but wonder, maybe we'll visit them someday? Do you really think that something like that could be possible? I mean, they're certainly not going to come visit us. I should hope, at least.
Well, you know, that's certainly very pessimistic and optimistic within the same sentence, Warren. You never seem to amaze me there. Well, if I'm honest, Warren, you know, it's very, 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 very far away. I find it very difficult to believe that we could get there within our lifetimes. Very sad to say, but maybe someday. It's not out of the realm of possibility for the human race, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just can't help but wonder, you know, what it's like on the surface of a star. And, or any of the celestial bodies. Certainly, we mustn't be alone out there.
Well, in terms of celestial bodies, that's for sure. We're definitely not alone, but I wouldn't get too loud with these opinions. You know, you'll be shunted from the scientific community, I think, at these dire, divisive times. I recently read about a German scientist who started talking about jet propulsion leaving the surface of the Earth, and it was not particularly well received, although very plausible.
Really? That's fascinating.
I agree. If only I could read German.
Well, if you'd put any amount of your heart and soul into another language as much as you do the stars, I'm sure you could get there.
Just what university has crammed into me about the Latin language, you know. The very useful, very dead language that we use to name things in space.
He lets out a hearty laugh and takes another sip of tea. Says, yes, I'm sure the Latin is getting you into far places, my friend.
Yes, quite.
And he abruptly stands up and he kind of walks over. Would you have, in this observatory of yours, do you have just one larger telescope that you're kind of observing through, or do you have any smaller ones that kind of have a more limited use that you'd be able to extend out over, like, the city horizon or anything like that?
Yeah, I have some smaller telescopic things of that nature that, you know, like 30 times zoom as opposed to, you know, 100 that, you know, would be used for stargazing and stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with lenses and that sort of stuff, so I'd probably have a good number of those.
Okay. Then he makes his way over to one of the smaller lenses and kind of, like, just looks up or, look, you know, puts his eye to the lens there and stares out through the window you have it pointed at. And he starts to just kind of just move it around a bit. And
Well, you know, Warren... On nights like these, you could actually use that to see Venus in the sky. And I gesture towards a bright object you can see with the naked eye.
Sure. He's like, really? And he kind of like turns it in the direction you're pointing vaguely and is looking through.
It is the brightest object in the sky, so I'm sure you can't miss it.
What? Well, I see two. Is... He says, and he's like, what's this other one? And he kind of stands to the side and like gestures for you to come over.
Yeah, I pick up another one and,
yeah,
you know, because it doesn't need to be very powerful to see Venus. So I pick up a smaller one and take a look.
As you look in, you very much see a second source just as bright as Venus. You immediately identify where Venus is. And this one is just off. And it
just off as in like position in the sky, like near it, you mean? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And If you want to give me an astronomy roll.
I would love to give you one of those. Been waiting my whole life for one of those. Oh, God.
Right.
Oops.
Ooh.
Well, clearly this doesn't belong in the sky.
Yeah, so you actually don't recognize this light source. You think it's a star by the brightness that it seems to be reaching at, and
what's its size in relation to Venus?
It's actually, you notice, quite bigger, as if it's much closer.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. Okay, is that all I gather?
Yeah, at the moment. Yeah, you can't immediately identify it, but you do recognize it as probably a star, just based on obviously your experience. But yeah, the fact that it appears as close as it does is very troublesome.
Well, this can't be right. I sort of unbelievable that you found this here, Warren. One second, take a seat, please. And I'm going to start adjusting my proper telescope to
okay,
sure. To point at Venus.
He's like, are you sure? I would love to watch at the same time. Do I have to sit down?
As he says that, I start to like crank this, this big wheel that starts to move, the mechanism that I have, up in that, like, cause so my observatory isn't a full dome. I don't have 360 degrees of view,
sure.
but I have, carved a wedge out of, a repeatable marked place I can observe the stars from.
Okay.
So some of that is adjustable, and I'm moving large, delicate machinery with gears and stuff that I'm sure I've concocted and put together. And part of observing that is like, you have to get out of the way of the giant telescope rotating through this space. So that's basically why I've had him step back and sit.
Okay, yeah, as you start moving, then he stumbles a bit. He's like, oh my! Takes a step back and definitely make sure he's far enough out of the way, and just lets you do your thing.
Yes, this must be a mistake, Warren. This, you know, did Venus is the brightest thing, brightest object in the sky tonight, and there should not be another object brighter, let alone as bright as it. So this is worth checking out, my friend. We may have made some sort of fun discovery.
Well, this is exciting.
But there's always room for error, so don't get too excited.
Well, far be it from me to make the next great discovery. I'm sure it's, you know, just a passing comment or something, right?
It's certainly very possible, but it appeared to me to be very big and had a magnitude much brighter than that of any comet I've ever seen.
Well, this is exciting stuff. Certainly much more exciting than that, the grounds we've just bought, old church. And he starts kind of just rambling on in the background a bit while you're focusing in.
Yeah, I'm like dialing in the degrees and coordinates that I'd like to point.
Yeah.
So I'm like half listening to him.
I was going to say, how much are you paying attention to what he's saying?
Not tons. I guess I would catch, you know, maybe major points in what he's saying, but.
Okay. You know what? Do you want to give me a listen roll?
I would hate to do that. Here we go. That's a failure. Ooh. I don't listen too good.
Okay. Yeah. He, you catch the words like, you catch the name Chapel of Contemplation, Copse Hill, New Gallery, and you piece together. He's talking about some sort of land purchase to fund a new building for the museum of some kind.
Sounds very expensive for it.
Too expensive, if you ask me. But hey, maybe if we discovered this together, this new celestial body, perhaps we'll get some sort of funding, and it'll, that'll erase that god awful amount of money I spent on that spit of land.
Like I said, Warren, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. You're already thinking in terms of illusions of grandeur over here with funds coming in from God knows where.
After you've kind of arranged your telescope where you want it to be, you take another look in, and it is unmistakable. This source has gotten much closer since the last time you observed it, only moments ago.
I imagine that would take me a bit to discern based on the fact that I've changed magnifications and would have to
re-measure. Sure. Yeah.
Because I was just holding it, so it wasn't like the steadiest of hands for the first time. But it's definitely larger than Venus at this point, is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. Very obviously so.
Well, this is very curious, Warren. It appears to be growing in size, or perhaps heading toward us?
I guess that quip about stars visiting us was maybe a bit too soon.
You're very poetic, Warren. Here, take a look. And I gesture him towards the eyepiece of the larger telescope.
Okay. He looks in and he says, oh my, that is, this is a nice telescope.
Thank you. It's pretty much the only thing around here that I do upkeep.
Yes, that seems very bright. Quite large, in fact.
Can I make like more scientific observation notes? In terms
sure.
of like its magnitude and its size and its position in the sky, at basically general coordinate and what I can visually gain detail from, considering I only have a basic telescope. Identifying markers that would communicate to another scientific mind that it measured to be larger and brighter than Venus at this time, basically.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you absolutely can.
Because, it would be mostly like an idea of coordinating if, other people saw it and relaying that it wasn't just, a trick of the light.
Yeah, absolutely. You take down some notes, and Warren continues to look through for a little while. And then after a bit, you notice that he's kind of stood back and he's holding his head, and he kind of like stumbles a bit as if he's dizzy or like lost his sense of balance.
You're right, Jose, old boy.
I think so.
Catch him by the arm. Make sure he doesn't fall over.
Yeah. He's like, I think so.
Did you get up to anything before you got here?
No. Just had dinner with my wife and hurried off here. I'll just let me grab a glass of water real quick. And he kind of makes his way to the kitchen.
Okay. And lead him downstairs. Get him a drink.
Yeah. You lead him back up eventually, and he kind of takes another seat on the sofa and says, don't let me stop you. I'll be right as rain in a moment here. You don't want to miss out on this big discovery.
You know me too well, Warren. put my head down back into the telescope.
Yeah. When you do, can I get a power roll, please?
Great. That's a fail.
Yeah. You just get the slightest sense of like a deep humming. But not in your ears, like more in your head, like way, way deep down. And it's very, very, very subtle.
Do I associate that with having like looked through this telescope at all?
Yeah, you didn't experience it until you looked into the telescope and located this object of your interest.
I'm going to pull away and like, I guess, pinch my temples slightly, and then I'm gonna apply a filter over the lens to change a little bit of the spectrum of light I'm observing to see if that was just an intensity thing.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna re-look into the telescope again.
And then as you do, the light has almost filled the lens. And before you really have a chance to react, it becomes blinding. And then just as quickly as it kind of fills your vision and your headspace, and it passes, but not like it fades out. It moves very abruptly to the left, and you realize it's above you. And at this same moment, you feel cold air brush all around you, and you realize you're not in your observatory. You're standing on a rocky shore, surrounded by water, and there is a tall lighthouse in front of you. Only, you know, maybe 100 or so yards off. And the light that just blinded you is the light of the lighthouse, and it swings around. And you realize that you are standing on an island in the middle of the ocean at night.
What the blazes? Warren? Warren!
I will need
call out to Warren?
Yeah, I'll need a sanity roll real quick from you first.
Yeah.
At this revelation.
That's a fail.
yeah, I will have you, you're going to lose one here.
Okay, just one.
Yeah, you call out to Warren, and he is nowhere to be found, at least that you can see, and he's certainly not answering you. You hear just the roar of waves hitting the rocky shore near you. And as you kind of look around, you notice movement. And at first you think it's isolated, kind of in the distance. But then as you kind of stare longer, you realize that, is the ground moving? Are the rocks writhing under your feet?
is this environment I find myself in, is it like, does it feel like the time of night hasn't changed and I've just moved, or is this very different in all aspects?
You would probably feel like you've just moved, but you could give me an astronomy roll or a navigate roll, either one, to tell me or find out for yourself maybe your exact position.
Okay. I will do astronomy because it's...
And the time of night?
That's a regular success.
All right. You are still somewhere on the eastern seaboard.
So I can see, I can still see Venus in the sky?
You can. And based on where you think your position is, it appears to be about the same time at night.
Okay. As far as the movement goes, I assume I don't recognize like where I'm at. Like I wouldn't have any geographic knowledge, I imagine. So I don't think trying to figure out where I am is necessarily priority number one.
Sure.
I guess I'll inspect my immediate area if I feel like things are moving.
Well, so when you look down at the ground more closely, you're very much standing on rock. It's almost as if you're standing on just the thinnest glass surface that perfectly covers the rock in all of its shape. Just like fits it like a glove in every aspect. And just underneath that surface, like you can see the rock, but it looks as if the rock is made of thousands of tiny worms and they're all wriggling at the same time. And you're standing on some sort of barrier between them and you, but to the casual eye, it just looks like rock. And this wriggling almost makes it seem a bit hazy, like everything's just kind of out of focus.
Is it just this one rock that looks this way?
No, it's as you stare around you, you realize the entirety of the island is like this.
Great.
I'm going to slap myself and pinch my arm, assuming that I'm dreaming. Must have been something in the tea. Sterling, you're better than this.
Give me a... All right. Yeah, give me a... give me a fighting brawl roll. You can do that in combat. It would be...
I'm going to fight brawl myself. Okay.
I'm mostly looking for what kind of success you get here.
Sure. How about a failure?
That works just fine. you hit yourself, and you're still there. You very much, you feel it, but you are absolutely standing on some kind of island that you think is on the eastern seaboard, but as you also look around, there's no sign of, like, the continent. You're just surrounded by water on all sides.
Sure. No other land on the horizon, basically.
No, but there is, yeah, there's just you and this towering lighthouse standing in the cold, crisp air of the night. And you're actually, like, you're kind of down a ways, like on a rocky hillside, and this lighthouse is above you a little bit of a clip, and there's only like maybe 20 feet between you and the edge of the water that's hitting, just crashing against these rocks behind you. So you're getting hit with some sea spray and and the cold air.
Kind of become ill if I stand here too long. The lighthouse it is, I guess. I'll like grab. I assume I'm still dressed, you know,
exactly in my like same
vague like comfort around the house attire, and I'll just kind of grab my like semi cross my arms against the sea spray and start to like cautiously make my way up toward the lighthouse.
Yeah, sure. It takes a little bit. What actually seems like way longer than it should, given the distance between you and the lighthouse.
Bloody rocks.
And the wind just roars against you. Your collar's, you know, constantly kind of hitting you in the face on the one side. And but you do eventually make it up, and there's just the barrier of a pretty normal-looking wooden door between you and warmth and safety.
I press on through. I don't know that I have too much a reason to distrust wooden doors at this stage, given my predicament.
You turn the handle and pull the door open, and it kind of like, you know, very abruptly gets caught by the wind and just flies open, and revealing a very dark circular room at the base of the lighthouse. And it almost looks like, you know, when the like there's been smoke in an area, like outside, and there's like a haze, but you don't see pillows of smoke. It's just like a thin haze over everything.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the room looks to you, in front of you as you step in.
Is the haze disrupted by the wind at all?
No. Actually.
Great. And it doesn't exist outside the door. It's just the moment I step in, I'm like inside of it.
Correct. Yeah.
It's really hard to justify these things I'm experiencing.
I'm gonna with whatever might I can muster, close the door behind me against the wind.
Give me a strength roll.
I am very weak, so here we go. I fail.
All right. You try with all your might to pull against the wind, and it just will not close. But you do realize as you're doing this that the wind itself does not seem to be piercing the open doorway. Like, when you're inside, like, you're not even feeling, like, the small breath of cold air coming in. It's, like, night and day difference between the wind outside and the static, hazy air inside this room.
Blasts this door. Forget it. And then I'm back into the room and start to look for maybe a light source or something that I can turn on or ignite or
light there switch, is perhaps. There's only the light of the moon coming in through the window, which you also notice there's no wind coming in through the open window. And so it kind of cascades the room a bit. There is a large spiral staircase going up in front of you. And you're just otherwise surrounded by empty gray brick in just a large circle around you. A fairly even brick floor with a little bit of like weeds growing through no objects of any kind, no lantern, no switches.
Great. I'm gonna like cautiously like peek my head up and take a couple steps up the staircase and call out into the lighthouse. Hello? Hello?
You think you hear for a moment. Your name. It could be Warren's voice, but you're not 100% sure. And it sounds infinitely more far away than you would think even at the top of this lighthouse would be.
Warren, what the blazes is going on? And I start to like climb the stairs at a vaguely normal pace.
Okay. It spirals upward and upward and upward, and you're sure you've reached the top several times, and it just continues onward and onward. And occasionally you're stopped by the sound of Warren's voice. You're sure it's Warren's voice now, calling your name.
Is this spiral staircase open to the inside shaft? Like, can I look down, or is it
yeah.
walled
yeah,
on
there's
both
no,
sides?
There's like a banister that goes all the way up with it. It leaves the shell of the lighthouse open all the way around.
I'm gonna look down.
It's just black. You can't, maybe about only 30 feet back do you see the rest of the staircase, and then it's just blackness.
So it tracks that I've moved some distance and can't see the bottom anymore.
Correct. Yeah.
I look up.
The top of the lighthouse is right above you.
Warren, this isn't funny anymore. Where the blazes are you? And I climb the stairs some more.
You do eventually come to the top platform, the top of the stairs, and are greeted by another seemingly normal wooden door.
Yeah, push through.
You exit out onto the outer railing and platform of the lighthouse, where the light is encased in glass and still slowly and regularly turning on its mechanism. And you, instead of being greeted by a vista of dark ocean, you instead are in a massive black void filled with stars. You have to be in outer space.
Is the lighthouse lit by fire or by electricity?
It would seem electricity.
Okay. Weird. Great. do I recognize any of them before? Or are they just like...
You can give me an astronomy roll.
Okay. Success?
You do, but not in the way you would suspect. You recognize the like portions of the Milky Way galaxy that you know well, but you realize that you are not recognizing them from within your normal position on Earth, but from outside Earth. and maybe outside the galaxy.
So what you're suggesting is that they have maintained, like, a semblance of recognizability?
Yeah.
But I can somehow discern what they are from a different perspective.
Yes. And you're not sure how this is possible, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
But,
it's very confusing. I don't know. Can I look around my immediate area more in depth to see if I find a hiding warren or something?
You walk around the platform and make a full circle around. And the light is still moving, and you get back to your original position and have found nothing but just empty metal platform. And as you get back to that original spot and you look out, you realize there are now less stars around you. And you can actively see some of them fading.
Well, this is very, very foreboding. This is a dead end and there's no warrant. I'm going to go back through the door.
You turn and the door's not there.
I thought that might happen.
Can I get another sanity roll at this stage?
Yeah, I would love to give you another sanity roll. It's a fail.
You, obviously, knowing how the stars work and knowing that this just cannot be, you're starting to feel almost strangely claustrophobic. You feel the weight of just the blackness crushing in on you. And I need just a D3 sanity loss here.
Okay. One. Not too bad.
You, as you're staring around, you notice more and more stars are fading away until only one singular pattern is left directly in front of you.
Like a constellation, you mean?
Yes.
Do I recognize it?
And I would need another astronomy roll.
That's a super hard success.
Nice.
What are the levels of success again?
Regular, hard, and extreme.
Extreme. That's an extreme success. Third.
Extreme success. All right, even better. You don't recognize this constellation as a whole, but you somehow, deep down, instinctually know that one of the bodies in it is Earth.
Okay.
And then the pattern fades, and you hear in the darkness,
"Sterling!
Sterling!" And the pain of a slap wakes you up, and you realize you're on the floor of your home, just next to your telescope, Warren standing over you. Sterling, my boy!
Warren.
What happened?
Is that you, Warren?
Yeah, you looked into the telescope and just fell over, blacked out. I don't know what.
How long have I been out?
I was on the couch and I just heard a thud and I came over and I've been calling your name. Are you okay? Here, come on, get up. Let's come over to the couch.
Yes.
Can I check my pocket watch?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much time has passed?
Only maybe a minute.
Okay. I assume my time spent in that experience was longer.
Oh, it felt like hours.
Oh, Warren.
I think I passed out, Warren. I had some kind of a nightmare.
I should say so. A nightmare, you say? Of what? What do you think could have caused that so suddenly?
I don't know.
And he hands you a glass of water that he must have gone and got while you were out cold.
Thanks, old boy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Regained myself.
Yeah. He obviously just looks very concerned and is kind of just waiting for you to tell him what you think happened.
Did I like fall and hit my head or any? Do I have like any pain, or was it like a reasonably safe collapse?
You still have a residual, like humming sensation deep inside, but it doesn't seem to be radiating from an external source. And you did fall, and you would have had to have hit your head on the floor when you fell, but you don't seem to feel any significant pain from that experience.
Okay. I don't know, Warren. It's all very fuzzy right now. Did you see the object in the sky move?
No, I totally forgot about it. I was certainly more focused on you. And he gets up and he waltzes over and looks into the larger telescope and says, I think it's gone.
What do you mean it's gone?
I don't see, there's...
Check it with the smaller telescope.
I think what you told me was Venus is still there. If you feel good enough to stand, come see for yourself.
I believe you, Warren. I'm going to take up a smaller one.
Okay.
To look in the direction I thought I saw it move before this happened. To the left, I think you said.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just kind of look into the sky.
There's nothing but the normal night sky as you were recording it just before Warren arrived.
Warren. I think I had sort of a headache, much like you did. But obviously, I think mine maybe is a bit worse.
I should say so. Certainly, it incapacitated you so much.
I had a dream about the stars fading. So strange.
Well, that certainly doesn't bode well for someone in your station.
How do you mean?
Well, some people believe in, you know, omens and such. I can't imagine an astronomer seeing the stars fade in a dream is probably a good sign.
It's all rubbish, Warren. No credence.
Well, to each their own, I suspect.
It's just a dream. Surely.
Well, I think this is, do you need any assistance? Would you like me to stay for the night? Or I certainly think this is enough excitement for one evening. I would be happy to stay if you feel the company is necessary. Otherwise, I suspect I should be on my way. I'm still feeling a bit lightheaded myself.
Can't be safe to drive under those conditions. Perhaps you should stay.
Very well, then. I shall.
What time is it actually in the night?
Just past maybe 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I think maybe it can wait till morning. But I definitely need to call and see if anyone else has seen what we saw tonight in the sky. Can't just have been us.
A good idea. Certainly you would know best. I only watch these things as a hobby. And you're talking about strange dreams and the stars fading, and it doesn't really make a whole lick of sense to me.
The dreams are surely meaningless. Don't read too much into that one.
Yeah, you can see there's obviously still some sweat on his brow. He's a bit nervous just about this whole ordeal. Not much of a man who probably has ever really had to deal with anybody fainting on him before.
Can I look out over like our large, my large window at the the skyline of the city, and in the moonlight, and just kind of observe to see if there's anything strange about it?
How long would you like to take doing this?
A good amount. I think, like, motivation-wise, it's partly meditative, but yeah, I'm, like, in no rush to go to bed at this moment. It's all very exciting and, you know, still, like, razzled by it all.
Sure. Yeah, then you spend a bit of time pondering over this whole thing and observing the skyline and thinking about where you were tracking this for the very short time that you did in the sky and its possible trajectories. And you think that if this source had landed, you don't notice anything specific about the skyline at all, but you think that if the source had landed somewhere, it would be close by, maybe only within 100 miles, and very near the coastline of Massachusetts. Like,
so 100 miles,
possibly hit land. Yeah.
So 100 miles east of me, is what you're saying.
More northeast.
Okay. Okay.
So,
All right. Well, if I don't see anything, I guess I'll maybe make some kind of sleeping preparations in, like, a guest bedroom for Warren if he's going to stay.
Okay.
And just sort of, you know, casually, as casual as possible, spend the rest of the night vaguely chatting before we turn in.
Yeah, he seems to become tired fairly quickly, definitely more so than normal, the other times that he's chosen to stay after a long evening of conversation.
Sure.
He conks out about, you know, only an hour or so after your time spent observing the skyline and such. And so you're left alone to ponder this ordeal in the encroaching night.
I'm going to spend a little bit of time in my workshop observatory area, and I'm going to try and recount some of the constellations that I saw in the sky in the dream.
Okay.
I want to try and draw them and recreate them to see if I can maybe later remap them from here.
Sure.
Or try to find them and maybe, like, figure out what perspective I could have been seeing these things from. And
mm-hmm.
Like, the impossible task of triangulating through space, but, you know.
Right. I'm going to fast forward quite a bit here.
Okay.
Now, you spent the rest of that evening, just mapping what your memory can recover, and working through numerous calculations and viewing the points in the sky through your telescope that you had previously seen this object. And sleep takes you eventually at your desk, and then you wake and have obviously memory of the experience, but details are becoming much more vague more quickly than you would have liked. And then we're going to fast forward even further, a few days. Actually, I'm going to say about 2 weeks. And you've okay. made contact with some of the others who you wanted to call, other professionals in the field, and collaborated a bit, talked about the experience. No one, there was maybe one or two others that thought they saw
a star, like a shooting star on a strange trajectory, just off of just a few degrees off of Venus. But none of them experienced what you experienced in terms of how close it got,
right.
or witnessed anything that you witnessed. And you hang up the phone with who would be the absolute top of the list that you would have wanted to talk to?
Oh, probably just in the local observatory, in presumably like Boston University or whatever would be
okay.
equivalent.
Sure.
And then after that, it would be people I don't have like physical correspondence with, but
yeah.
Okay. The first would be people that I would see in real life if I traveled into town to do like more okay. meaningful research or schedule time you've, on the big telescope and that sort of thing.
Sure. You called your local contacts and then called out, and now you've just hung up the phone with one of the university staff once again, kind of like reconfirming others' findings and just hashing through it one more time. And right after you've hung up the phone, it rings again. Somebody's calling you.
I answer. Hello?
Sterling! Sterling, my boy.
And it's Warren on the other end.
If I'm honest, Warren, I haven't stopped thinking about it.
Right. I should have suspected as much. And, well, I have a very strange request, but I think I need you to come down to the Chapel of Contemplation grounds. We recently just closed the deal on some ruins there, and I've come across something very strange, and I would very much like you to confirm something that you told me about on our last conversation after that night. You mentioned some coordinates where you think the star or body or whatever it was could have landed. And I'm pretty sure I have the same numbers carved in a podium of granite underneath the chapel.
Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Josh Richter, and if you would like to make contact, you can find me on Twitter at The Eldritch Hour, or you can email the show at TheEldritchHour@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/TheEldritchHour.